Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. Today we're going to be talking about Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, chapters 20, 21, and 22, the final three chapters.
Yeah, the last ever.
So yeah, we're going to be finishing up the Purple Book today.
I feel a bit sad.
Yeah?
I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it is good.
Should we just like redo it all again?
Redo
it? See if we come up with any new insights.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe we've been doing this long enough that we're about to start on the fourth book.
I think the fourth book is going to be... I mean, I could be literally like dooming us, but I feel like it's going to be the best episode so far.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because... I don't know.
Well, we'll find out when we get there, I suppose. See if those incredible insights were correct.
I'm always correct, as we've come to see.
Yeah, if Gifton says he's 100% certain about something, you best not doubt it.
All right, let's get this.
I'm looking forward to the point in book six where we can find out if Harry and Dumbledore actually do apparate out of Hogwarts or not.
They fucking don't. I'm telling you, they don't. Do you know what, right? When that moment fucking happens, right, I literally want to have like a specially like roped out bit of the podcast so we can both like discover this together.
Okay.
What I might say actually is that when we get close to it, we'll listen to that bit together in the moment. Oh, we can't because we can't have the audio on the thing. We'll find a way. I want it to be like a live reveal of what happens.
Okay.
Just so you know. We might do like an Instagram video or something. Where we both listen to the moment.
Yeah.
And then one of us, me, is going to be improved. Right.
Well, that's a long time away, you know. Maybe we'll have like a panel at some podcast convention by then and we'll do it live in front of an audience.
Like San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah. All right. So look forward to that episode. Yeah. That's booked. We've promised it now.
Yeah. Coming to you in April 2023. Okay. So no, it won't be that long. Unless one of us has an awful accident in the meantime, we have to put everything on hold for like 2 years.
Here's hoping.
One of us, I mean you, Tom.
All right. Right. Chapter 20 is called The Dementor's Kiss.
The Dementor's Kiss?
It's a fucking Dementor's Kiss.
No, I'm sorry. He does it so well.
I'm glad you think that. I bet people from Liverpool don't. The first note I've written is emotional. I'm your godfather.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
No.
Oh, sorry. I do. I've written it. Okay, so
you've referenced the bit in a different way.
Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, because I put like obviously because they're making their way back to the castle and yeah, like Sirius announces to Harry that he's actually his godfather. And within seconds of doing that, he's like, do you know, if you ever want a home that's not your aunt and uncle, come and live with me.
Mm.
And I thought, that's fucking weird that Harry and it's even weirder that Harry accepts it.
I don't think it's weird that Harry accepts it. He's desperate for anywhere else to live.
Yeah, but literally 20 minutes ago, you were convinced this guy murdered your parents. You've just kind of accepted that he hasn't. And then he's like, do you want to come live with me?
I know what you
and
mean,
Harry's
actually,
like,
yeah,
okay. It's like, no. I'd be like, well, do you mind if I come around and vet your house first and maybe get to know you a little bit? Maybe spend a year just having like casual coffee meets with you just to get to know what you're like and then we'll see.
Yeah.
Like...
Harry's impulsive though.
Yeah, but he's literally doing exactly what they tell you not to do in school. He's literally indulging in stranger danger.
He has a certain disregard for the rules. It's been established.
I mean, I guess it can't be any worse than what's happening to him at home, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. He's suffering some pretty awful abuse at the hands of the Dursleys.
So yeah, I thought that was weird. And they emerge from the roots of the willow that wants.
Yes.
And the moon is out.
Yeah, some clouds move away from in front of the full moon.
Yeah.
So it's only when if it's a cloudy night and it's a full moon, he's fine.
Yet again. This is where everything falls apart. Because literally, if you're inside then you're not having any exposure to lunar rays.
Yeah.
Which are not even lunar rays, just solar rays. Like, what yeah. is... So this is ridiculous.
So the clouds moving away and then him having the reaction is stupid, I thought.
Yeah.
It's when there's a full moon.
Yeah,
because
later
right?
on, Hermione points out, she goes, oh, see, like, or either Hermione points out or it's pointed out that when Lupin goes into the willow, the moon is fully obscured by the clouds. And I was like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like you say, if it's just the clouds covering up the rays from the moon, stay inside.
Yeah, and he should be fine, but that's not how it works.
No.
So I was just like, okay, well, whatever then.
Whatever then.
Yeah.
Another inconsistency we'll all just deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to, right?
Well.
Because otherwise we won't have a podcast, huh? Yeah. So yeah.
Lupin Wolf's out.
Yeah.
He's like, serious.
Oh! And they're all like, I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah. Sirius dogs out and starts, you know,
chomping at the bit.
Chomping. Yeah.
Chomping at the fucking bits. I'll get better, guys. There come a point where we'll do this entire episode in like a Liverpudlian accent.
Or we'll just find an accent that we can both do. Or I don't know, we'll find an accent you can do. And we'll each pick an accent.
Should we just try and pick one now? And just, I don't know, I just might try and do my Irish one again. So they step outside and the moon is out. And Lupin transforms. He fucking wolves out.
I think your Liverpool one's better.
So he steps outside. What? That was not... I was trying to do the Liverpool one then.
And that it was closer to Irish, but still not quite even that.
Step outside and the moon is eight. And then Lupin transforms.
Oh, Jesus God. Christ.
Ah, oh, shit, son. It's alright. So what I wrote is that I thought that the scene is much better in the book as it moves a lot faster.
Mm.
It's a lot faster and a lot more frenetic, and I think that's a lot more realistic. In the film, it's sort of, there's lots of fucking speech giving and shit like that, and it's like, oh no. Whereas in this, like, everyone's really quick to react.
Yeah, it all just happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I really
also
appreciate
Hermione
that.
Is with Harry down by the lake.
Yeah,
which, as thinking about it, means that in the film Harry just runs off to like go and help Sirius because he's, you know, been injured as a dog or whatever, and Hermione just sort of hangs out.
I guess she's with Ron still because his leg is thingied.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And Snape was with them, sort of like holding them back, because Harry sort of barges past Snape to get to Sirius.
Oh yeah, Snape's still unconscious in the book.
Yeah.
Sort of levitating in the air.
I remember when the film came out, J.K. Rowling said that there was something that Alfonso had done in that scene, which was unknowingly foreshadowing kind of something later on in the books. And everyone was like, oh, what the fuck is that? And it was in the movie when Snape comes out and he's like, oh, you insolent, whatever. And then he hears and then sees the wolf when he turns around. And then he throws his arms out to, like, protect the kids.
Mm.
And it was that moment sort of foreshadowing Snape's true, like, nature, that he wasn't a bad guy in the end.
Yeah. Well, he is a bad guy.
He's a bad guy, but he wasn't evil.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't.
Nah. I don't know. I don't think he's good.
No, he's not good, but I think
I sort of don't really think he's neutral either.
No, he's not. He's not a good guy, but he...
He's on the good guys, but I think his alignment is... Maybe he is a good aligned, he's just an arsehole about it.
Yeah, I mean, because he does do a lot to actually protect the kid, and I feel like the bad shit he does is usually in reference to James or Harry, and he really fucking hated James.
Yeah, it's weird that he takes it out on his kid, though.
Yeah.
And on the entire Gryffindor house.
Yeah. Maybe he's just a cunt.
Yeah,
do you know what? Fuck Snape. Fape.
Dude, do you even fape?
Why, yes, I vape regularly. I have to vape myself. Because no one will vape me.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but there's a werewolf here, thanks. So yeah, Sirius gets bit or whatever and falls down to the lake, and Harry and Hermione kind of go after him.
Where they're immediately joined by a swarm of 100 or so Dementors.
Yeah, which is very scary.
Very scary.
And they both... Hermione tries to cast a Patronus because Harry tells her to, and she can't. Because it's just there's too many Dementors, and obviously the effect that they're having on them is quite great.
Yeah, so. And also Hermione's, good witch and everything, but, she's never had a Patronus lesson.
Yeah, that's a really advanced spell.
Yeah,
so
and he just says, think of something happy and say this. Like, that's all the education she's had in it. So it's no surprise that she can't really.
Yeah, she's like, oh, that time I got 3 pink starbursts in a row. He's like, that's not strong enough.
Oh, shit. The rest of the packet was yellow and green anyway.
So, yeah, they sort of start to fall, all of them start to fall prey to the Dementors. And then Harry sees a figure across the lake and it casts a Patronus that rescue them.
Yeah, although importantly, before he sees that, one of the Dementors approaches Harry and lowers its hood.
Oh my god, yeah.
And starts to draw in the kind of death rattle breath.
Yeah, yeah.
And starts to try to press its face up to Harry's face. Misreading the signals entirely, if you ask me.
He's like, oh, I thought when you were pointing your wand at me, you were trying to gist me. So that's why I thought, well, if he's up for it, then I am too.
There was something silvery and white coming out of the end.
Yeah. And then Harry passes out. He passed out.
Is that allowed?
I mean, I'm going to say this. Because it's got so many clothes, it leaves it at Aunt Marge's house. I hated that song at uni. I really did. Because everyone else used to fucking go mental when it came on, and I was like, ugh. Are you actually listening to the lyrics, though?
Yeah, I know.
It's all right, though. That was back when we were young and carefree. And now we have bills to pay. Isn't it funny how life works out?
Yeah.
So, chapter 21. Fucking Hermione's secret. That went bad. I'm proud of that one.
All right.
If you can see Tom's face right now.
I tried my best not to take that away from you.
Yeah, chapter 21, Hermione's secret. I don't know what that was. I'm going to cut that. Don't worry, guys.
I love that that's your cut noise.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Harry has seen quite clearly a stag.
Oh, he definitely sees it in the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure he does. He sees a stag come forward and charge the Dementors away, and he sees a figure.
Yeah.
He sees the stag gallop back to a
figure. Oh, and the figure goes to pat
that,
his head.
That, greets it back kind of thing. And he's sure he recognises it for a minute, but then he passes out.
Yeah. And then we hear talking, and Fudge and Snape are talking, and Snape is talking shit about Harry. And then Harry sort of groggily, comes around, and they're all in the fucking hospital wing.
The fucking hospital wing. Wing. You got to put a hard G on the end, I think.
Fucking hospital wing. Yeah. Fucking hospital wing.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to do the H on an H.
Oh, okay. Fucking hospital. Oh, I can't fucking do it. I give up.
I think we can probably cut about 5 minutes of you trying to do a Scouse accent.
So they're all in the hospital wing. And
and Snape's taking credit for driving the Dementors away. Not for driving the Dementors away, but for catching Sirius and all of that. Doesn't know what drove the Dementors away. By the time he got there, they had all dispersed.
And Madame Pomfrey brings them more chocolate.
Yeah.
Laced with cyanide.
Gotta keep them sick.
Yeah. Oh, this chocolate's all crunchy. Yes, it's salted glass. I mean, caramel. and sort of as soon as kind of Harry and Hermione are like conscious enough, because obviously Snape and Fudge are talking about what they're going to do with Sirius and the Dementor coming along and stuff, they both like leap out of bed and like, no, guys, you've got it all wrong.
Yeah, Madame Pomfrey tells them that, yes, not to worry. They've got Sirius Black and the Dementor should be administering the kiss any moment now.
Yeah.
Harry's all like, what?
He's like, no! And then...
As Madame Pomfrey shoves something in his mouth.
She just shoves her entire fist that happens to have chocolate in it. Yeah.
You got to work the chocolate out.
Lick my fingers. He's like, no. She's like, ah.
This is why nobody wants to come to the hospital wing.
She's like, everybody wants to come to the hospital wing. And literally, like, once they start like proclaiming Sirius's innocence, no one will fucking listen.
No, Fudge doesn't listen to them.
He's
he
like,
says,
"Oh, you've clearly been confounded. Don't worry."
Exactly.
And
Dumbledore arrives.
Yeah, he's like, pew, pew, pew,
pew. Yeah, he's just
comes through the door.
I must insist, get the fuck out.
Yeah. And Madame Pomfrey's like, excuse me, this is a hospital wing, blah, blah, blah.
And he's Dumbledore's like, look, just fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm the headmaster.
You don't even work here.
I think you'll find this is my hospital wing.
Yeah.
That you tend for me.
You're actually still a student. I just let you put on that pinny. Yeah, so he makes all of them get out, basically. And Harry and Hermione are like, oh, headmaster, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is what it is and stuff. And then Dumbledore's like, yes, I've spoken to Sirius. He's told me everything. I believe him, basically.
Yeah, but, you know, Dumbledore, I have no power to overturn ministry rule, and the word of just 13-year-olds is not going to help the situation. What we need is more time.
Yeah.
Wink.
Yeah. And he holds up a sheet of paper and gently unfolds it. So then it just says, Hermione, use the time turn. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I see. You've spelled it out very clearly. Oh, look, there's even instructions underneath that about exactly what to do. Oh, look, he's even drawn pictures, Harry. Look.
Yeah. Oh, we need to save Buckbeak as well. Thank you for being super clear about that, as we have very limited time frames to do these things. And so I'm really glad that you've not been completely cryptic about this and given us vague details that we need to work out ourselves in the moment.
And Harry's like, I don't want anything to do with this.
We needed some more time.
Yeah. And Dumbledore just clasps his hands together, puts them in front of him, and gently like sways back and forth while staring lovingly at Hermione. And Harry's like, am I interrupting something here?
Yeah. I think I've misunderstood.
Is time an acronym?
Yeah. I've got parsley, sage, and rosemary.
Oh, yeah, so you did mean it like that. Okay, so that's an acronym for too high, you, me, explosion. Hideaway's perfect sense.
Yes, thank you, Dumbledore. After all these years' experience, I've managed to crack your clues. Let's go, Hermione.
And then Dumbledore moonwalks out of there, and that's the end of the book.
Yep. Sirius loses his soul, Buckbeak loses his head.
And Dumbledore loses the tip of his penis because Hermione got carried away. But hey, that's the price you pay for some time.
Okay, we've gone off the rails.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
No, not most of it anyway.
Yeah, can you guess which bit stayed? I think then he sort of, then I think Hermione does sort of go, and then he's like, if you're successful, more than one innocent life may be saved tonight.
Three turns like, should do it.
Yeah. Oh, and then he's like, oh, and Sirius is in Professor Flitwick's office. It's the 13th window from the right. in the northmost tower or whatever. And then he's like, you must be back here before the clock chimes, whatever, because otherwise terrible things will happen.
Yeah, because I'm going to lock the door and you won't be able to get back in.
Yeah.
If you're not here in time. Why does he have to lock the door?
So that they, because we literally find out why.
Do we?
Yeah, when they get back.
Oh, okay.
He sort of like explicitly says something, which is like, oh, okay.
Don't remember that bit, so I'll look forward to it.
So yeah, Hermione gets her tits out and then she twizzles them 3/10 to the left and magical things happen. No, she gets out of a time turner. Fucking time turner!
She gets out of a fucking time turner.
Right, I think from now on Hermione should have a Scouse accent and you have to do it.
How do you get onto this fucking chain?
Oh, God. Yeah, I love it. And then, yeah, she fucking twizzles that shit. And this fucked me right off. The time fucking goes back, but they move location. And I was like, that doesn't seem right. And I don't like it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they fucking end up in, like, by the cupboard in the entrance hall. And then they have to, like, jump inside it. And then they watch themselves exit the entrance hall.
Oh, yeah, because in the film, they just stay where they are in the hospital wing, don't they?
But then I did sort of think, okay, maybe this version's better. Because I thought, okay, say you had a time turner, you've been, like, arrested or something. And you were in prison. You're like, okay, I need to go back in time. You don't want to go back in time and still be in the prison cell. Do you know what I mean? Like, you would want to go back to where you was 3 hours ago. But it's very dangerous then if you do go back to the location that you was 3 hours ago, because then you might realistically bump into yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was bizarre.
And it is bizarre that you just go back to the approximate location.
Yeah.
Not like exactly where you were.
I guess like
if you're I guess the thought behind it is that as you're turning back time, you're sort of retracing your own steps back through time.
Oh my God. Yeah. That makes a nice amount of sense.
Yeah, so you would end up exactly where you were, but then there'd be two of you in exactly the same spot.
Yeah.
So you're just sort of roughly approximately where you were 3 hours ago, and you got to get out of the way of yourself quickly.
Maybe this is how, do you know when Hermione's like, terrible things have happened with wizards who have meddled with time, like so-and-so killed himself or something like that. Maybe it's because that is literally what happens. So they go back and they're in the same location, and then the other person's like, and then kills the other person.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how it goes wrong.
Maybe. I did think that was weird, though. I thought you would have to be a pretty spectacular fucking moron to do that. Especially, don't get me wrong, if another version of myself walked through the door right now, I would shit myself and lose my mind. But I don't go to school in a magical castle where all kinds of weird impossible stuff happens every day.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you would think, okay, there's some magic at play here. Let me get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. And also, you would have to go back to the point before you were presented with a time turner.
Yeah, because if you already knew that you had, like, if Hermione saw herself, she would go, oh, well, I fucked up there, and know exactly what happened.
Or at least she'd go, password.
Yeah.
And then the other you would go, penis. They'd be like, no, but it's obviously you. Gifted.
So yeah, you'd have to go back far enough to the you, so that the you that you run into is unaware of the time of any time turning capabilities, and also is so jumpy and reactive that they're gonna see themselves and immediately panic rather than think, well, I know there's lots of complex magic that happens in this world I've lived in all my life.
Yeah, you're so right. It's still a bit.
It's dumb, I think. Yeah, alas.
Wax eau de ear. The new cologne from Hagrid. So Harry's like, what? And Hermione's like, I assume you want to know what's going on. And he's like, yeah, thank you. And then she's like, well, I've got a time turner. This is how I've been getting to my lessons all year.
Yeah, there's not an annoying amount of Harry going, what's going on? And Hermione going, shush, just come with me. And not explaining anything for an annoyingly long time. Like, Harry's confounded without an explanation for I don't know. We have at least two or three instances of Harry being like, Hermione, what? I don't understand. Where are you? She's just like, says something kind of Dumbledore-esque and cryptic.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess she just
thought
where
we are,
be...
it's when we are.
No.
I mean, it is also where.
Yeah, it's all of the above. Like, yeah. I hate her so much.
Well, she does explain eventually, but it takes her an annoyingly long time of just like...
Yeah, all you've got to say is, oh, we've gone back in time. Yeah. And I'd be like, ah.
Which she does eventually, but...
Yeah, it's weird though, because I've literally, the first note I have is, why are they in the entrance hall? Is Hermione explains why she has it. So I guess I must have just, because I was infuriated, I must have just skipped all of the...
Maybe.
What?
Yeah. There is, Harry is confused for a little while. Anyway, moments later, Hagrid's back door opens. Dot, dot, dot.
Hagrid's back door, opens. Wow. We fucking back door opened. What's hoping? Ah, it's when...
You're hoping yourself up and just hope someone puts something in.
Yeah, you just pull everything apart, fucking push out and hope that glorious things make their way inside. Doesn't often happen, Hermione, but, you know...
Here's hoping.
Positivity and all that. Hermione explains that they need to save Buckbeak in order to save Sirius. And Harry's like, what? And she's like, oh, because Sirius can fly away on Buckbeak.
Yeah. But there is a moment where she's like, more than one innocent life can be saved. What did Dumbledore mean? Oh, he must have meant this.
Yeah. And I was like, he should have just said it.
Yeah.
Like, it would have taken him less time to just say exactly what needed to be done.
Yeah.
God, that man. Yeah, it upsets me so much. So yeah, they go down to Hagrid's. The back door opens. They see, what do they see? No, right, so Harry wants to burst in because he knows that Pettigrew's there.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, no, we can't. If, like, bad things happen to people who meddle with time, and sort of says this whole bit that we were just talking about. And I did sort of think, like, do you think the Hermione ever did cross herself when she was heading to lessons earlier on in the year? Because it's likely that she would have.
It is likely that she would have. But if she had, it's likely that she would have been around other people, so other people would have seen two of her.
Which I think is, because other people must have been like, oh, I just saw you over there and now you're here.
Yeah.
At the very least, you know.
Yeah.
So I did find that a bit like...
Which Ron does, even.
Oh, really?
It's, well, there are times when he's like, they've just left a lesson with her. They go to speak to her and then, oh, she's actually suddenly down the bottom of the stairs and coming up towards them. And it's like, but you were, how did you get there?
Yeah. It's all a bit bonkers, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, I guess the moral of this story is, don't do too many lessons.
Yeah. Don't try and learn too much. Know your limits.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the Knowing Your Limits. Okay, so this book, everyone does exactly what they're supposed to. Nothing really happens, but Harry stays alive another year.
Yeah, there's a magical wizarding school. So that's something.
I would love a book like that. I really would.
Or just with no conflict.
Yeah, just like the things they have to worry about, just like normal like teen things.
Mm.
And it just happens to be in a magic school. Alas, we didn't get that. Instead, we get ridiculous trials and unspeakable torment. So, so they are crouching sort of by the hut and they have to wait until Fudge and McNair have seen Buckbeak outside.
Yeah. Before they can go and untie him so that they know that it is there outside.
And so they basically, they do that. So they rescue Buckbeak and then Hermione's like, look, we need to hide until we can get Sirius. And that's still like so many hours away.
Yeah. And as, they manage to pull Buckbeak away into the forest just in time. And they hear the swing of an axe. The executioner must have swung it into the fence in anger.
Yeah.
So that's what they heard earlier.
Yeah. Into the fence in anger, we heard her say.
All right, there's copyright infringement number two.
Liam, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. That's a direct quote from Mel C, 1997. So yeah, they're hiding, they see Lupin go into the tree.
Yeah, and...
But the moon is obscured, so it's fine.
Yeah, moon is obscured, so it's all fine. Harry says he can see the invisibility cloak just lying there, and he's like, oh, if Lupin had only just picked it up then. And Harry wants to go and grab it so that Snape can't get it. And Hermione's like, no.
I mean, why not? He should have just grabbed it.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm really sorry, but fuck everyone in this fucking book. Like, literally, they should have just fucking saved the day. They should have. I don't care what is going to happen.
I know.
As long as they don't kill each other, everything should be fine. They should have just let Buckbeak go. They should have fucking gone up to Sirius in that moment. Not Sirius, sorry, Lupin in that moment. And been like, Lupin, this is exactly what the deal is. I want you to go in there. As soon as you get in there, I want you to fucking, like, stun the rat. Stun Ron if you want. Maybe tie us up. Don't do anything funny. And then fucking we're going to go and get Dumbledore.
Sound good?
Yeah. And then everything would have been fine.
Yeah. I mean, that is addressed why they don't do that in Hermione's whole terrible things happen to wizards who mess with time spiel. Fucking,
all the terrible stuff seems to be someone being surprised that they see themselves and then killing themselves.
Yeah.
So in lieu of that. So yeah, they just sit and watch as their lives are torn apart through their own inaction. And they decide to go back into Hagrid's hut.
Yeah.
Because it's now empty.
Yeah, and they start talking about the Dementors, and Hermione asks, why didn't the Dementors get serious when we were down by the lake? And Harry says, oh, I know it sounds mental, but someone sent a really powerful Patronus, and I think it was my dad. And Hermione's like, but your dad's dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, thank you, Hermione. I'm aware of that.
It's like, look, I drew this flip book earlier and it's described the exact way I think your dad probably died. She's like, prrr, and he's like, yes, Hermione, thank you.
Yeah, yes, thank you. It did. The illustration of him crying on his knees in front of Voldemort was maybe a little unnecessary, but...
I did like the touch of his blood pooling on the floor, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, well done.
Oh, I didn't know they made crayons in that shade of scarlet. Thank you. She's like, well, you know, hobbies. Yeah.
So they emerge from the Whomping Willow.
No, hold on.
They go back. Harry and Hermione go back outside Hagrid's hut because Harry's like, we're gonna need to know when Sirius needs rescuing. They'll be coming out from the willow soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they do, and Harry's like, he can see that they've got Pettigrew chained up, and they're bringing him out. And Harry's like, he's going to escape any minute. We can stop it now.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, no.
Like, no, kitty, kitty, no. And Harry's like, what? Mine's like, it's okay, it's a Family Guy reference. And Harry's like, ah, well, I don't have a family. And she's like, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's sort of like, yeah, we have to leave because we need to know when it's time to rescue Sirius. And
oh, we've done that a little bit backwards from my notes anyway. They watch them all emerge from the Whomping Willow, and Harry's angry about not being able to go after Pettigrew. Then they go back into Hagrid's. And then
And then Harry's like, yeah, like I want to see, like I need to know what that thing was about.
Yeah, then we go outside. Harry needs to see. Yeah, exactly. I need to know when it's time to go and rescue Sirius, and I want to see who casts that Patronus. So yeah, he goes and stands on the edge of the lake, roughly where that person would have...
And it's weird, so it's because it was really difficult for me to sort of understand, like, the geography.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So much, because I guess I have the film locales in my head. And so in this, obviously everything is kind of on one level and quite near to each other. And Hagrid's Hut is quite near the lake, it seems. But in the film, obviously Hagrid's Hut is nowhere near the lake.
Yeah, I don't think that was even the film that did that for me. I had a hard time... where the Patronus gets conjured from and where the figure that Harry thinks is his dad emerges and all of that in my head is just completely different to where Hagrid's hut is.
I really...
Like, it's just different part of the grounds almost. So, yeah, he realizes that after he's, you know, seeing the Dementors lean down to him and thinking, oh, my dad should be appearing right now. Where is he? He realizes what, of course, we all know.
I didn't realize it until it happened. Like, obviously, I knew this time, but when I first read it, I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah, no, me neither. I mean, we all know it now.
Yes. Good, I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah, good. I totally didn't realize the first time I read it either. I was like, it was a nice reveal moment. Yeah, Harry saw himself conjuring the Patronus, by the way, just in case anyone didn't know.
Yeah, he literally, like, he does wait and wait and wait, and then he realizes that no one's coming, and he just gets the urge, and so he runs forward, and he's like, Expecto Patronum! And then his wand's like, and then a giant fucking stag jumps out,
yep,
and charges across the lake and does things and then comes back. And then Harry looks at it and it bows its head and he sees the antlers and he's like, ah, Harry, I understood now. Prongs. So he's like, ah, it must have been me da. And he goes to pat it and then it vanishes. And then, do they see Snape appear and take everyone up to the hospital wing from the other side?
Yeah, Snape appears, summons a load of stretchers to carry them back to the castle on.
And then they get the fucking bird.
Yeah.
And they fly up to Flitwick's.
Yeah, Hermione doesn't like it at all.
I did like that. Yeah. I like the way she said, because she was like, oh no, I don't like this. Oh no, I don't like this at all. Yeah. Yeah, they fly up and Harry tries to count the windows and they do. They get as close as they can. And then Harry's like, they saw Sirius through the window, but because obviously Buckbeak's trying to hover, they keep on like dropping a couple of feet every couple of seconds.
Yeah, dropping and rising a few feet with each beat of its wings.
And I was like, this would be impossible to do, I think, in real life, unless sort of Sirius like jumped onto it. There's no sort of like steady way that they could have managed this because of that.
Doesn't it say they land on the shingles of the roof, the turret at some point? I thought I remember saying they land on the roof.
I don't think so, no, because Sirius, they can't get the window open, so Hermione's like, I've got this, Elohimora. And then the window goes and opens up, and then Sirius climbs out because he's thin enough.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's an interesting Ted Bundy fact that I should tell you about right now. So this week on Ted Bundy Corner. So one of the times when Ted Bundy was arrested and held in prison, in like a jail cell, sorry, while he was awaiting trial, the cell was attached to the sheriff's apartment. And what Ted Bundy did, he starved himself down till he was thin enough to fit through a space in the roofing. So do you know in like prefab like classrooms, you have that weird like tiled roofing that you can just push the board up and sort of there you can get through?
Yeah.
So he starved himself until he was thin enough to fit through there. He climbed up, climbed into the sheriff's apartment that was next door, got dressed in the sheriff's clothes, and then just like walked out. And then he was on the run again. And I was like, I like that fact. So that's what Sirius does. He fits through a skinny window and then he kind of haphazardly jumps into the bird.
Yep.
And then they fly down and then Harry and Hermione get off. And then
Sirius says bye.
He says bye. Thanks for saving me. Harry, I take back everything I said about wanting you to come live with me. Now I've had these 10 minutes alone in Flitwick's office, I've realised I really just want like a little bachelor pad, you know?
Yeah. I've come to value my alone time.
Yeah. But you can come visit on bank holidays. And then he puts on his hat and sticks Buckbeak in the rear with his stirrups and off they go. And they fly up across the moon and Harry's like, oh, I remember that from a film. And Hermione's like, what film? And Harry's like, it doesn't matter. It was E.T. Okay. He turns to Hermione, he's like, oh, I guess Sirius really is gonna phone home.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, I'm glad I was here for that.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, me too, because no one else has seen a movie. And Hermione's like, ah, yes, no one's even seen Jurassic Park. And Harry's like, wait a minute, doesn't that come out this year?
Cool, so because they'd be in 94 by now, right?
93.
Well, they start in 93.
They don't, they start in 91.
No, they start this book in 93.
Oh.
And it's gone past Christmas, so it'd be 94.
What happened in 94?
Right? I don't know. E.T.'s been out a few years, though.
Yeah, that was 80s. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think 94 was maybe Lion King came out.
Ooh.
I think so, because I think Pocahontas is 1995. So I think Lion King is probably on the verge of coming out, if not out already. Sirius flies off, and then it's chapter 22. I'll post again. My favourite chapter title.
Yeah. Are you going to sing all the chapter titles?
Should I? Maybe we should have a jingle for the chapter titles. Like...
just more, I feel like to be on brand, it just needs to be more typewriter noises.
Oh, maybe like a scribbling sound.
Scribbling sound, yeah.
Yeah, like a...
and then the voice that says, poor Lee Red.
Yeah.
Read the chapter titles
chapter
again.
Chapter 22, Outpost Again.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No. No, me neither. Maybe we can just do the voice, but like... just have the scribbling sound.
Maybe we should do like a Lee Jordan's like a ventriloquist voice. You know, chapter 22, Outpost Again.
With what, him and McGonagall's little skit.
It's chapter 22, it's Outpost Again. Put your hand up my back, we can all be friends.
Jordan!
What, Professor? They need to know the chapter titles.
You think that's bad? You're the one with your hand up my ass.
Oh, God. So they go back to the hospital wing.
Yeah, they got 10 minutes to get back to the hospital wing.
And Harry wonders what will happen if they don't get back in time. I don't know. And my note is, I'm sure it'd be fine.
I mean, I think it might be. There's nothing that's... they don't have to return to the exact spot that they disappeared from, do they?
Well, they arrive just as Dumbledore is about to lock them in, and they tell him what happened, and they get inside really quick, and then locked in, and... within like moments, Snape fucking hurtles down the corridor in a fury and like bursts the door open. And almost straight away, he blames them, basically. Mm. Says,
so
no.
Can I ask then, why did Dumbledore have to lock the door?
Yeah, so because literally after he says like, no, this had something to do with Potter. And then Dumbledore's like, no, how can it be? So I locked them in myself moments ago, and they had, and then he's like, Madame Pomfrey, have these children moved since? And she's like, no, they've been here the entire time. So because Dumbledore locked them in and Madame Pomfrey didn't see them move, then Snape has no argument really, because that's sort of like an indisputable proof that
right,
they were there.
Right, I see, yeah.
Whereas if he hadn't locked them in and stuff like that, then it could be argued that they had gotten out, I guess, by Snape at least. But this way, Snape really didn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
Because even though he's still...
locking them in does seem like a evacuation hazard.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe evacuating isn't really a thing in the Wizarding World.
Probably not,
as we know,
it?
You just fucking freeze the flames and enjoy the tickling sensation. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And worst comes to worst, they could just blow out the windows and jump on a broom. There we go.
Yeah.
Or they could enchant one of the beds, so it was like the bed in Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, I bet Madame Pomfrey's got that on standby. Yeah. They're all like...
and Harry's like, get your hands off my knob! And then she's like, we're not even on the bed yet. So Snape fucking storms out and... Harry's like, oh, what's that about, mate? And Dumbledore's like, oh, you know, just bitter disappointment or whatever. So obviously Snape was hoping that Sirius would get fucking demented.
Yeah, get demented. Yeah. And that Snape was going to get the Order of Merlin thing.
Yeah,
for...
first class.
Yeah.
I guess it's like a Victoria Cross.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I feel like getting a second class Order of Merlin might be a bit of a slap in the face.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I have a box of celebrations, thanks?
Yeah, yeah, nah, you're right. I'm going to wait till I do something a bit a bit more special, shall I? So what I did wasn't good enough.
I'm going to write first class on my CV, though. Is that okay? Yeah. So Ron wakes up, everything's fucking hunky-dory. Hagrid's all, like, happy and shit because Buckbeak flew away. They spend the next day sitting by the lake reminiscing about what happened. Hagrid comes to see them and says how happy he is that Buckbeak got away and he hopes he's doing well and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They agree to take the Dementors away from the school because one of them tried to kiss Harry.
Yeah.
It's just inappropriate.
Snape tells all the Slytherins about Lupin. So Lupin resigns.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, what did he expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad because, you know, he's a nice dude.
Yeah.
And a good teacher.
And so, because, like, Hagrid tells him this and Harry, like, runs to see Lupin because he didn't know anything about this. So he gets in, he's like, no, don't go. And Lupin's like, ah, all right then. No, Lupin's like, look, Harry, mate, like...
I'm off.
Yeah.
But here's your shit back.
Yeah. Here's your fucking map. Here's your defibrillator. And I was like, oh, thank God. I thought I'd lost it. And Lupin's like, look, I could have transformed... Like, if that had happened and I had fucking bitten someone, like, I could have killed like, a kid and something. I can't take the risk of that happening again.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair enough. And that's more his reason to leave than just the barrage of letters he's going to get from parents complaining about him being there.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair enough. Like, it is, that was a really high-risk situation and it was his own negligence that sort of led to it, you know?
Yeah, it was, really, because he didn't take the potion that night.
Yeah. So he gives him his map back. He gives him his cloak. He's like, yeah, I found this at the bottom of the tree or whatever.
Yeah, he gives him the... Gives him both his major rule-breaking tools back.
Yeah, and I thought, so when did he fucking retrieve the cloak? Because he would have had to go back after he de-wolfed and got the cloak.
Maybe he did. I mean, he was roaming the forest all night, wasn't he?
I guess so. Maybe he had to go back to pick up the remnants of his clothing and then saw the cloak. Well, where would he have seen the cloak? Because it would have been in the Shrieking Shack.
It would have still been in the shack, wouldn't it?
So maybe he was like...
Maybe he just remembered and went back.
I guess... That seems a bit of a weird thing, though, because he wouldn't have necessarily known that Harry didn't have it. But maybe he just remembered that they didn't take it or something.
Yeah, because Snape came in with it, and then it would have ended up just on the floor in the corner of the shack, and none of them picked it up on the way out.
It's weird that Harry didn't go back straight away to get it, or like at least the next morning.
Yeah, I mean, that he does seem to just leave that cloak in places. It would be like his prized possession.
Yeah, it's the only thing his dad left him, apart from... fucked up hair.
Yeah, it's the only thing his dad left him, so it has that sentimental value, and it's literally, I think, the most useful tool in his whole arsenal. Yeah.
Yeah, whole arsenal.
His arsehole and all.
Yeah, it's the most useful tool in his arsehole.
So I'm surprised he ever lets it leave. But he does, and Lupin gives it back. And
then Dumbledore fucking arrives.
Yep, gives Lupin
like,
a...
pow, 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 pow! D-Dog in the house.
Lupin's like, we were having quite a solemn moment, actually.
So Dumbledore speaks to Harry, and it's the usual sort of, like, closing
end of book wrap-up, yeah.
And Harry's like, ah, oh, but I didn't make any fucking difference. Dumbledore's like, didn't pop, pop.
Yeah,
you didn't make a difference. Pop, pop, pop. And he's like, you now know that Sirius is innocent.
Yeah, you saved an innocent man from a terrible fate. Yeah.
And Harry's like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, and then Harry's like, oh, shit, hold on. Professor Trelawney, she said this thing. And then he tells him about the prophecy. And then Dumbledore's like, ah, so that brings the total amounts of actual prophecies that Sibyl has made up to 2. And then Harry's like, what? And it's like, you could have elaborated then, Dumbledore. But I guess you were still fucking too scared to tell Harry about his destiny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. And then Harry says something about what the plan was or something. And then Dumbledore's like, and now Pettigrew owes you a life debt.
Yeah, you did a noble thing saving his life. Not everyone would have done it. This is like deep magic at its most powerful. Yeah. There'll come a time where you'll be grateful you saved Pettigrew's life.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that time is.
Ah, do you want me to tell you? Or do you
yeah.
want me? Okay.
We've been spoiling shit right from the beginning. I'll forget by the time it actually comes around. So yeah.
So do you know when they're all in the basement of Malfoy Manor?
I thought it was that.
Yeah, and then when they're all about to escape, and then fucking Pettigrew comes down to retrieve Harry, I think, as the others have been apparated out by Dobby, and I think Ron's still there, and so I think Pettigrew injures Ron, I think. And then he goes to get Harry, and he grabs Harry by the throat with his like silver hand that Voldemort was made for him. And I don't know if Harry says something or reminds him of the life debt, but the hand literally frees itself from Harry's throat and then turns itself on Pettigrew and literally like chokes Pettigrew to death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that happen in the film? I feel like it doesn't.
I don't think it does. No, I think they...
It's a bit gruesome for the film, I think.
Yeah, I think in the film, Pettigrew's walking down the stairs and then...
Dobby stuns him from behind. Yeah, because he's at the top of the stairs. Oh, yeah, stupid in the film, because Dobby says, meet me at the top of the stairs in like a minute.
Yeah.
And it's like, the door's still going to be locked. How the fuck are they going to do that?
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
Yeah, that whole, I mean... lots of horse neighing.
Yeah.
And Harry's sad. Harry's sad because he's not going to live with Sirius.
Yes.
And he's sort of like, for one shining moment, his life was going to be a bit better, and now it's not. He has to go and fucking live with the Dursleys still.
Yeah, but Ron invites him to... Ron tells him that the Quidditch World Cup is on in the summer, and that he should come and stay, and they should go to the Quidditch World Cup, and Harry's like, oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah, and Hermione says something too about kind of joining in or something like that. She says something fun about the summer.
Does she?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like Hermione.
Yeah, she says something about like sort of, oh, Ron invites her or something as well. And then she's like, oh, that'll be fun. It's something along those lines. So then Harry's like a little bit more like up. And then they pass all their exams.
Yep.
Gryffindor win the House Cup for the third year in a row.
Yeah.
Which is lovely for them, I guess.
Hermione tells them she's going to drop Muggle studies despite having passed with 320%.
Yeah.
And just sigh and move on from that.
Yeah, she's given back the time turner.
Yep.
What is she, drops Muggle studies and arithmetic? She's like...
She's already dropped divination.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. So without those two, she'll have a pretty normal timetable. And I was like, that's not a lot to drop for you to suddenly have a normal timetable.
No, I feel like it could probably still be maybe a bit busier than everyone else's, but won't need actual magic to like make it possible.
Yeah, I guess it was only those two subjects that overlapped.
That tipped over the edge, maybe, yeah. So they get on the train.
Yeah, and then they're on the fucking train. And then there's like a tap at the window and it's an owl.
Can you tell we're trying to wrap this up?
Tap at the window is an owl in the end. Thanks for
it's, it's a little owl. It's fucking...
I don't think he has a name yet. But
no, he doesn't.
It's a Pigwidgeon.
Who will later come to be known as.
Yeah. And he plops in and it's got a letter, and it's a letter from Sirius, and it's like Sirius going that he's hiding.
Yeah, and he's planning on letting some muggles glimpse him in a place that's really far away from Hogwarts, so hopefully they'll lift the security on Hogwarts.
And then he's like, oh, and by the way, in case you hadn't figured it out, I'm the one who sent you the fireball. Then Hermione's like, haha, so I was right. And then Harry's like, yeah, but it wasn't trying to kill me.
Yeah, it wasn't like hexed, was it? So
then Hermione's like, yes, but I was still right, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And that's all I need. 1 point to Hermione, 0 point to Harry. Okay. I can sleep well tonight. Yeah, and he says,
Ron, I thought your friend Ron might like to keep this owl, as it's my fault he no longer has a rat.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
That is nice. It's not really Sirius's fault Ron no longer has a rat.
I mean, it kind of is.
Well, kind of, but he never actually had a rat in the first place. Sort of. I mean, it was always going to come to light somehow.
Maybe not, though, to be fair.
Maybe. But I feel like for Sirius to take the blame for Ron no longer having a pet is a little bit, like, noble and...
Yeah, I think it was just a nice gesture.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's a pretty nice guy deep down.
Yeah. And I also thought it was quite nice that Ron, like, initially he, like, snatched the little owl away from Crookshanks because, like, he was eyeing it up.
Yeah.
But then he holds it out to Crookshank and is like, what do you reckon? Definitely an owl? And Crookshanks is like, yes, I approve.
Yeah, I liked that too. And then he's like, and I've added a little something else just for you. And then there's like another little slip, and Harry and I was listening to this on the tube, and I started crying on the tube. He opens it, and then it says, "I, Sirius Black, Harry Potter's godfather, give him permission to visit Hogsmeade at weekends." And I was like, oh my God. And I just thought it was like the sweetest thing in the fucking world. And I got really emotional. And I proper cried. Not like bawling, but tears like came out of my eyes. Because I just thought it was so fucking sweet.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it? Shut up. Yes, only Dumbledore would be able to read that. When Harry hands that into Dumbledore, he can't let anyone else see that. Well, everyone else thinks Sirius Black's still a convicted murderer.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's not Harry Potter's godfather.
No, but he's going to say, surely that disqualifies Sirius from being able to give permission to for Harry to visit Hogsmeade.
I don't think so.
It definitely would.
No, well, it obviously doesn't.
No, that's my point. Dumbledore will read it and go, okay, fine. Yeah, I know what that's about.
Yeah, but maybe even McGonagall read it and she was like, okay, this is weird, but I guess he is his godfather.
Yeah.
Because you do have to hand in your slip to your head of house. It's not Dumbledore that gets it.
Yeah. Well, then when he gets back to the train station, he says goodbyes to Ron and Hermione, and Uncle Vernon nods at the permission slip in Harry's hand, and he's like, "Was that another bloody form for me to sign?" And Harry's like, no, it's a letter from my godfather. It's like, oh, you don't have a godfather. It's like, yes, I do. He's a convicted murderer and escaped from wizard prison. But we like to keep in touch.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Which is pretty brazen of Harry, but like...
I like to check in with him just to make sure he's happy, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And then it ends with, Harry thinks this summer we will be much better than the last.
Yeah. The end.
Fade to black.
Fade to black, yeah. Sirius Black.
Yeah, and then that's the end of the book.
Yeah.
What do we think?
I liked it.
I did too. Apart from all the things that don't make sense with the time turner.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an asterisk over literally every book in the series, I think, apart from all the bits that don't make sense.
Yeah, and pretty much really from this point onwards, it's very much that.
Like, yeah.
Apart from this major thing that could have been avoided, it's good.
Yeah,
as a whole, I was sort of, this book, I very much, as per usual with most of these books, in fact, all of the books, my favourite bits are just the bits when they're just like ambling around school doing like normal lessons and stuff. And so as per usual, I liked all those aspects in this book. And Sirius, I think, is maybe my favourite character in the book series. It used to be Luna, but the way that Stephen Fry reads her has kind of put me off a bit.
Yeah.
Whereas I very much enjoy Sirius, so I think he's my favourite. So having him introduced at last is nice.
I'm not sure who my favourite character in the series is, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have a think.
I bet it's someone I hate.
I bet it is, yeah. I bet. I'll have a think about it, and I'll try and come up with a favourite character for next week, and I can predict your reaction to whoever it is already. Ugh.
Whoa. What can we say? Apart from bye.
Hagrid's Hagrid? That's normally how we end, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe we should do it all back to front. So I'm Hagrid. No, I've been Hagrid.
And I've been Hagrid.
And Tom's been gifted. Bye, everyone. Oh, no, hold on. Fucking hell. We got to tell him about our social media shit.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do this and we'll put it before that bit. So guys, check us out on Instagram at PaulieRedPod, at Twitter at PaulieRedPod. Email us at PaulieRed@gmail.com. Please, if you've been enjoying the episodes, give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It really does help us get discovered by more and more people. And share us on any of your social media platforms if you feel the insatiable desire to. So yeah, without further ado.
I've been Tom.
No, I want to keep the other one.
Oh. Okay, bye.